their daughter, who was another Lydia, was, I could say, betrothed to Dr. Prescott.
Okay.
And then you say...
Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio. Available anywhere, anytime on the internet, WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin, Mass. FM radio dial, 102.9. Here today in Peter Mullican's home for a conversation. And Peter, welcome and thank you for doing this.
Okay, that's fine. It's interesting.
So let's start with, okay, who's Steve talking with? Give us a little bit of your Franklin story, as you will, because I believe what we're going to get into is a little bit deeper into the history of some things that people may not realize how Franklin was connected to it.
Yeah, we moved from Brookline, my wife and I, back in 77.
Okay.
And we've been here ever since.
Yeah.
Three children have gone through the schools, gone off graduate and gone off to the jobs.
Right.
And we're still here enjoying
still
retirement.
There. Yes. It's not a bad place to live.
Not a bad place to live.
Yeah. And I see you periodically at the town common along the Veterans Walkway as we honor one of the 45.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's important, I think, that we do that.
To keep the memory alive, and even for some of the seniors, you know, they see the name of, you know, Daniel McCahill Street. Well, who's Daniel McCahill? Well, oh, by the way, he's one of the 45. Mm. So, yeah, there's lots of little connections.
And we're enjoying ourselves here, and it's fun to have family that's not too far away.
Right.
A lot of friends in town.
Sure.
So we're happy.
Nothing wrong with that part. And you've got some interesting details in kind of the history of the family.
The history of the family, in terms of what we're going to talk about, I think is the fun part, so to speak.
Sure.
Because I don't know how many families can come up with what happened with our family.
So the listeners, if you have a similar story, we want to hear it.
and the excitement sort of built up because this was the 250th. And we wanted to go back to Lexington and go back to Concord and sort of trace things out and see what has developed. Mm-hmm. We found that our relative, Nathaniel Mullican, who was a clockmaker in Lexington, a very well thought of artisan, because he had to be, he was a blacksmith, and he was a woodworker, and he also, I don't know what the exact terminology would be, but he, since he made clocks, he had to be very meticulous with the metal pieces, brass or whatever he was working with.
Yeah, I mean, the machine tools that we can think of today certainly did not exist back in those
that
days.
That is correct. And so we did some looking around, and we have some pictures of where his house used to be in Lexington.
Okay.
There's a little stand in front of it that says, you know, history about him and about the house. And we had a fun time. We started in Lexington, in Concord, and we walked through Concord into Lexington, seeing all the stuff that was going on in terms of
Battle Road
and cannons and the marching. And the one thing I thought was sort of funny was we were walking along a road, and one of the British soldiers came by. He was riding on a scooter, and his rifle was up, and I said, oh, they've upgraded, have they?
new mobility measures.
It was fun looking at different museums and seeing some of the Mullican clocks.
Okay.
And I know, it was just a great time to be able to do that and catch up a little bit on the history of things.
So in terms of the family tree, where is he in the family tree relative to you?
Well, we have I suppose I could show it to you later, but it's a tree.
Okay, okay. You've got the formal doctor.
We've got, I've got the big one downstairs in a case, and we have a small one up there that shows from Nathaniel Mulliken and Lydia Stone.
Okay.
Okay, as the base, and then we're off up on the left side.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's sort of amazing to have that as a background.
Sure.
Getting back to the Mulliken family in Lexington at that time, their daughter, who was another Lydia, was, I could say, betrothed to Dr. Prescott.
Okay.
And then you say, well, who's Dr. Prescott?
That name sounds somewhat familiar to people who have been close readers of the American Revolution.
And it turns out that on the night of Paul Revere's ride, when he started off with Dawes, Dr. Prescott happened to be in the Mulliken household with his betrothed.
Yep.
And he borrowed one of their horses. I don't know whether it was Lydia's horse specifically or just, you know, part of the family's, I wouldn't say herd, but I'm sure.
Part of the stable.
Part of the stable.
Yeah.
And off he went to help. He caught up with Paul Revere and Dawes and rode with them, sort of. They were up here and he was behind them, and just at the point where the British jumped out to stop Revere and Dawes, he saw them and they said, stop, you know, type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he took off, jumped over a stone wall, and made it the rest of the way to Concord while Paul and Dawes were stopped, and they didn't make it to the Concord.
Right.
And the fun part of the whole history is the fact that is Dr. Prescott, he's engaged, he's on a Mulliken horse,
doing the rest of the ride.
Yeah, and something like that, I think, would always help build a history closer to the family, to understand all of that. We have papers and things like that that talk about and pictures that show when the British came through Lexington, they burned four houses.
Okay. Yep.
Our house was one of them.
Ah.
And they have a list of all the material that was in the house, how much it was worth, and how much the house was worth. And Lydia's family lost somewhere around close to 400 pounds materials in house.
Yeah, and value.
They took the whole family, of course, before it burnt, to another friend's house that was a little bit further away from the action.
Right.
And they rebuilt their house across the street from where it was originally. And
new location.
Location. And then, I guess, after a number of years, moved back to where it was originally, and that's one of the houses that we saw when we went on our Concord-Lexington trip.
Right, and it was about a road trip.
And it was sort of, this is where it was, this is where his shop was, you know, and I can imagine, because they did talk about burying some of their prized possessions.
To hide them.
The tools and, silverware and stuff like that.
Yep.
There was a story where one of the British soldiers was wounded and dying, and some people came across his backpack. And in the backpack was a collection of Nathaniel Mulliken's clock working mechanism.
Oh.
So he was planning to take it back to England.
Sure.
And making a mint off it, I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's another little aside. that you don't you don't hear in the history books much.
Well, yeah. Well, clearly history is kind of the big, broad, arching themes and the kind of the major figures. History really is made by every single individual, and some of those side stories like yours, you know, never really kind of bubble up to make the storyline. But yeah, that's fascinating to get into.
I was watching the Boston Shell performance.
Yep.
And an actor was brought on because there was a connection between him and the thing. And I said, I bet our story's better than that. it was fun. But it really makes history become more alive if in some way, even if it's in a small way.
Sure.
That you're involved right. with it, your family's right. involved
yeah.
with it. And,
yeah, because as we talked before we started recording, you know, most people would think that since Paul Revere and William Dawes did the ride, they made it all the way, yeah. and yet they didn't. And yet Prescott did on a Mullican horse. Yeah. So that's a pretty cool connection.
Yeah, yeah. The fun thing was, because I didn't know how much we have, and this is a sample of one of the books we have, mm-hmm. three books of history written down, you know, how many Mullicans there were and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And a friend of mine in a carving class told me about this book, and he said, maybe you'd be interested in it. And I said, oh yeah, we're in it. And he says, what? He didn't believe me.
Yeah.
He went home and he read it again. We were in it in about four or five different places.
Okay, the references, Mulligan.
Yeah, yep. And talking about the ride, the clock, the horse,
yep.
And also we found that I thought at one point in time, maybe they did, Lexington had a listing of all the patriots that were on the green.
Sure.
And we even found out another spot that Nathaniel Mulligan is on that list.
Okay.
He was on the green
yeah.
when the firing started.
Sure.
And that's scary too,
yeah.
you know, in terms of what they went through.
Yep.
But again, it's another little piece of history that draws you in closer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a fun thing to keep track of and
for sure.
Make sure that our children know about it. And
it's good timing because clearly the 250th is coming next year officially, but there's a lot of preliminary stuff, which is what you were already participating earlier this year. And then Franklin has its 250 in 2028. So the next couple of years, hopefully there's going to be more stories like this that'll, you know, pique the interest and... Because the history is truly being made every single day, and to get back and find out who was what where, and the Franklin connections, I think will make that a little bit easier.
One of the funny things happened was I belonged to a carving class at the senior center,
okay,
and a number of us went to a place in northern Massachusetts somewhere. I forget exactly where, but to see a show,
okay,
and they had people, you know, vying for prizes, and,
sure.
and they had a bunch of people that were had a store that you could buy different things,
mm-hmm.
and they even had a fella come in with his eagles and owls and it was a lot of fun. But the couple that we were with wanted to stop at the Concord Inn and have lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when we got there, it was about 3 o'clock.
Oh, very too busy. Late for lunch.
Well, it wasn't really.
Right, but just too busy.
But they shunted us off to a sort of like a little living room.
Okay.
Okay. And lo and behold, on the walls were all these pictures of the Lexington Concord battles.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
And I said, wow, this is interesting. Then I looked at one more closely.
Uh-huh.
There was a picture that showed where the British had torched houses.
Yep.
And they named each houses. And guess whose name was on the picture?
Oh, my.
Yeah. Not, you know, completely, you don't think you're going to run into something like that. But there it was.
Yeah.
And sadly enough, when I went back this recently to the inn to see if they still had these up on the wall, and of course they were
changed the display.
And they did say that I'm sure he's, I guess they have three or four other restaurants or inns like where they may be.
Yeah.
But we didn't have time to chase those down.
No.
But it was something funny to, you know, really to bump into that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a fun part of life to come up with stuff like this.
Right.
And,
And
pass
I guess,
it on.
Yes, for sure. And I think you were mentioning that Dr. Prescott, while he was successful, ultimately the betrothed and he never really got together.
Right. He ended up getting captured at one point and ended up in the prisoner of war ships and never made it home.
See,
Lydia waited 8 years for him to come back so they could get married.
Right.
And at the end of 8 years, she said, it's not going to happen. And remarried and went off. And that was sort of a, you know, where'd she go off to?
Yeah.
I don't think we even have a record of who she married.
So you got a dead end there.
But that's the sad part of the story, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Well, it's real life. Not everything has a happy ending.
Right.
Riding off into the sunset, living happily ever after.
Right.
But at least your trail through, you know, the Mulliken families, certainly here and then I'm sure elsewhere within New England, as you, over the years, you've grown and scattered and still somewhat clustered around, but, you know, it's a big world.
It's a fun thing, too. We've been into, gone to a couple of auctions here and there, and lo and behold, there are Mulliken clocks being sold, auctioned off.
Yes.
Of course, when I went to a couple of them, somebody wouldn't let me bring my checkbook.
Yeah. For fear. It just might be a little bit more.
Yeah. But the one of them that we went to, it was designated to maybe bring $15,000. Okay?
Yeah.
And this is an old, what they call long clocks back in those
days. So
they didn't call them grandfather or grandmother clocks.
They were just long.
Long clocks.
Right.
And we sat there. Of course, we had our little numbers, but I kept it down.
Right.
$50,000 went for.
Wow.
And just amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing to see. You know, because I was able to go up and I even got some pictures standing next to it.
Sure, yeah. Well, that is part of history.
Amazing to go up and see the work he did with clock parts and also with the craftsmanship of making the long wooden clock parts.
Yes. And it still had kind of a glass front too, or was it just totally wood?
It was wood.
Just totally wood.
They did have some on the sides. They were glass, so you could see into
the workings.
So I guess when he was making things or checking things, or he had a window.
Mm-hmm.
The one time when I was younger, went with the family to another family's home, and there was a Mulliken clock in there, and it was made out of wood.
The clock itself.
The clock,
the guts.
Everything. The
guts. Wow, totally.
Just blew my mind. I mean, talk about talent.
Yes.
And the nice thing about some of the history here is that he had, and I wouldn't call them indentured servants or anything, but he had a number of young men under him who he taught the skill to.
kind that, of in the apprentice world.
Yeah,
type.
And they went on to
do
make
their own
clocks, mm-hmm. And so and that was really sort of neat to figure that he has really, you know, done what he should have done in terms
sure.
of keeping the craft
alive,
going. It's been a really fun thing to have and hang on to. And
it's a cool story. Well, thank you for sharing. I'm sure the listeners will say, really?
Wow.
Yes, indeed. So now if they see you sometime along the way, I heard. You got any more on that yet?
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's just, it's a fun part of life, you know, in terms of the family. And I think I've made an impression on a couple of grandchildren that are mm-hmm. interested to keep things going.
Right.
And, who am I going to decide gets the original?
Yes.
Because it's about this tall.
Okay.
Like this.
Uh-huh.
I'll show you the tree, the other one that we have, the smaller one. Fun things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that.
Cool. Well, thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you for coming.
Yes. No, this is the kind of good thing I like to do, to get behind the headlines, get into the inside story. And this is an aspect that I'm sure there may be some others, because, I mean, even back in those days, Franklin certainly was part of Wrentham at the time. And then a couple of years later, again, we're stepping back into Revolutionary time, 1778, then mm-hmm. Franklin split away from Wrentham. But there were folks that, in, quote, Franklin parishes at the time, or Franklin neighborhoods, did participate. There's probably some other stories, and hopefully as we go through this kind of 250 next couple of years, mm-hmm. we can get some more of those stories shared and get people interested. History is a good story to share.
It is.
Yeah. Well, good. Thank you again for sharing. And for the listeners, thank you for listening. Stay tuned in case we have some more. And a quick reminder that we do this because Franklin matters.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.